16. Matthew chapter 16. And we'll read the whole chapter, but we'll focus on the first few verses. Matthew 16, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, It will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, It will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Quite a bit of material in this chapter. We won't cover it all this morning, obviously. I do want to call your attention to the first 4 verses, though. And I guess the timing of this study coincides with current events. How many of you have heard that these eclipses go, 7 years ago it went through 7 towns that were called Salem, which means peace. And then this newer one's got 7 towns that are named Nineveh, which is where Jonah preached. And then they intersect at a place called Rapture. And so what you've got is a bunch of people running around saying that the rapture is going to happen in 40 days. The reason I've had my phone up here going off with the Pac-Man death, just to play this for you real quick.
There was an eclipse that took place 7 years ago, went right across America. There's another eclipse coming right across America. It'll make a perfect cross on the center of the nation.
God made the first sign go through 7 cities named Salem on August 21st, 2017.
The word Salem, according to the Bible, is peace. So God is saying 7 times he offered peace. The next eclipse is coming. It goes through several cities here. Nineveh, 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 Nineveh. Jonah gave Nineveh 40 days. God said you've got 40 days to repent. Only the sign of John will be shown to you, and that's right here now. Seven and seven. Seven cities called Salem, seven cities called Nineveh, and 7 years apart. Right in the center of the cross is a city called Rapture. What is God's message? We have got 40 days. We've got to repent and seek God like never before. He's coming very, very soon. There was an eclipse that took place.
Exciting stuff. If you don't know your Bible. Now, don't get offended at what I'm about to say, because what I'm about to say is for your good. These kind of people are a dime a dozen. And there's always something you could look at and say, oh, prophecy being fulfilled. There are people that make millions off of books, off of Christians, telling them that some supernatural sign has taken place. How many of you remember the Blood Moons by John Hagee back in the 2015, 2014, 15? You know what all that came to? Nothing. But he got a bunch of money selling books. And same thing with that guy Jonathan Kahn, you know, the Harbinger. He picks a verse out of Isaiah, and he hooks it up with 9/11, and he says, all this stuff is coming on America, and it's foretold. And a bunch of people buy his books, and they get all frothy about the thing, and then nothing comes to pass, and they get all disillusioned. I'm not saying you shouldn't be looking for the Lord to come back. I'm not saying you shouldn't be waiting for him. You absolutely should be, and you get a crown for loving his appearing. But the place to look is not the universe, and it's not the things happening in the stock market. The place to look is the Bible. And the nation of Israel. I'll say and the nation of Israel as an add-on, because a lot of what the Bible has to say, it says about the nation of Israel as far as God's calendar and God's timing. Since we're in Matthew, let's compare the other gospel accounts, shall we, and see if we can see a little something different here. Look at Luke 11. Luke 11, verse 16. Luke 11, verse 16. And others tempting him. You want to notice that. Sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. Yeah, let's keep reading. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation, they seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Verse 32, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Look at Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. Mark, chapter 8, verse 11. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit. That means he went, and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. He didn't even mention Jonah. He just went, What are you looking for a sign for? And then got on the boat. All right, so now look at Matthew 12. Matthew 12. We started in Matthew 16, so we're going back a little bit in time to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, verse 38. Matthew 12, 38. You remember when I was teaching you the parables, the purpose for Christ beginning to speak in parables was because those Pharisees had rejected his plain teaching. His plain, straightforward teaching they rejected, so he began to speak in parables so that they would be taken blinded, even though they could see, and deafened, even though they could hear, in the fulfillment of the book of Isaiah. So here we are in Matthew chapter 12. Look at verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. All right, so what you have there is the Lord Jesus Christ, through different accounts in those Gospels, the one that gives you the most information says that he said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Speaking about his own death, burial, and resurrection 3 days late, three days later. All right, 3.5 days later. So, 3 days and three nights later, rather. That is the fulfillment of that. That is the only sign given. And he said it's given to an evil and adulterous generation that seeks after a sign. And the reason why he called them that and told them that they were evil and adulterous for seeking after a sign is because they had rejected what this says. See? Look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1, verse 14. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. We know from the Bible, the book of Psalms talks about the sun as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber every day. Creation preaches the glory of God, shows the work, His work, and it tells the story. It gives its line throughout all the earth. There's no language or speech where it's not heard. The sun comes out of his chamber as a bridegroom, as he's going to run a race. And he comes out like a bridegroom. It's a type of Christ. The moon is a type of the church. You get that in Song of Solomon. Who is she that is fair as the moon, terrible as an army with banners? The church has no light of its own. It reflects the light of the sun. I don't know if you heard the Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee said that recently this last week. She said the moon was made out of gases. And, you know, sometimes it's full and sometimes it's, you know, half tank. But the moon is made out of gases. But it's much more manageable than the sun. She said the sun is almost impossible to get near. Almost, you know, but, you know, she said the moon is made out of gases, which, you know, that just shows you the benefit of a public education, amen? Everybody knows the moon's made of cream cheese. But the moon has no light of its own. It doesn't shine. The Bible tells you that. Behold, the moon, it shineth not. It's the sun that shines. The sun shines and the moon reflects the light of that sun when that sun is on the other side of the world. It's a picture of the church being a light of the world when Christ isn't in the world. Okay, those are the signs. But the Bible gives you what those signs are. It explains them. It doesn't just say, hey, there's going to be a bunch of signs, folks. And then everybody's like, okay, where are they at? Where are they at? No, it brings you here, scripture with scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept. The problem what you saw on my phone, the problem with what's going on in modern-day professing Christianity is they have thrown this out, and they are ignorant of the Bible, and they're up looking in the universe to try to find what stars align. Which, you know, on their best day, I'll give them, okay, astronomy. But on their worst, I'll say that's astrology. look at Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. So the stars and the moon and the sun, all that stuff up there, they are for signs and for seasons and all of that. Look at Matthew 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Well, you don't know. Thought you guys were wise. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Okay, well, they saw his star. But their star didn't bring it to him. Bring him to him. Verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, about 2 years ago. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. All right, so these wise men see this star. And they follow the star. And you know where it leads them? To Herod? No, it leads them to this. Herod says, is there a Bible around here? And they dust off an NASV and they say, yeah, there's one right here. It says, O thou Bethlehem in land of Judah art not the least, even though the King James says in Micah that it is the least. But they don't want to offend their King Herod. So they fixed up the version. It was an NIV. So thou art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor. That's not what it said either. It said out of thee shall come a ruler. From everlasting, talking about God in the flesh. They fixed it up so it wouldn't offend Herod too much. But the point is that those men followed a star, and the star led them to this. And this told them where to look, and then the star followed them the rest of the way. But it was the book that gave them the location, not the star. Okay? They aren't judging the signs and wonders by the book. They're judging the book by the signs and wonders. That's the condition that modern Christianity is in. A lot of them don't have a King James Bible. The ones that do aren't reading it. And so they hear this stuff online and they think, ooh, what coincidence, you know? Seven towns named Salem, and then seven towns named Nineveh. And then one where they cross is rapture. And Jonah preached for 40 days to repent, and then God was going to destroy Nineveh, so that must mean 40 days till the rapture. You never ran into such crazy thinking, and yet there it is. Now, you know, I saw a man, I was looking at YouTube and some of this stuff, and one of the guys says in Revelation 12 that the man-child caught up to God's throne is the church. The woman in Revelation 12 is Israel. Everybody knows that except the Catholics. They think it's the Queen of Heaven. But he says, okay, here Israel gives birth to this man-child who's the church who gets caught up. You know what that is? That's somebody a little too anxious to try to fulfill something that's not fulfilled. I'm all for the rapture coming. If there was a button, I would push it. But I'm not so excited about the thing that I'm going to lead a bunch of people astray just to get them excited temporarily. Because that excitement is going to wear off, and pretty soon people are going to say, baloney, forget it. And what you intend to do about getting people excited about the book is not going to excite them because you've forsaken the book. Brother Luke's been with me for 20 years. Brother Luke, is there anything that I've taught from this Bible that you found yourself getting disappointed and disillusioned about?
Not one, brother.
And do you know why that is? Because I've given you the book, 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 the book. And if there's an occasional thing on YouTube about numbers and computers, I give you that because I gave you the book, the book, the book, the book, the book, the book. I said, Brother Adam, why haven't you talked about the eclipses? Because it's not in the book. And I don't want a bunch of people coming to church the next week going, guy's a false prophet, man. I don't have to worry about that. I never have to worry about you being disillusioned with anything that I say because I'm giving you the book. And you are supposed to be checking that book to check me out, to make sure that I line up with that book. Amen? Now, you know, it's okay to roll around the playpen, Sonny, but don't broadcast it on the internet. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know what a fable is? A made-up story. To delight children and to get them to go to sleep. Calm down. Amen. Now, number one, all these people use other versions. Number two, and that's a big point. That right there ought to say a case closed. If a guy calls himself rabbi, I'm not interested in reading his book. Christ said, be not called rabbi. I got no more business listening to that guy than I have listening to Father so-and-so down at the Catholic Church. Or Master so-and-so at the jiu-jitsu parlor or whatever. I don't know if those are called parlors or what, but dojos, thank you. But I don't have any more business listening to this guy because he's a rabbi. Is that going to make him an authority on the book? If anything, rabbis have a veil over their face when they read this book. I taught you the first mystery is Israel is temporarily blinded in part because of their rejection of the book. So a guy says, okay, I'm a rabbi, I'm authority on Jewish matters, and I'm going to give a bunch of Gentile Christian suckers to buy my book because they think I'm an authority. The guy's not an authority. The book is the authority. But people don't read the book. And so they say, ooh, blood moons. Blood moons, that sounds weird. And it lines up with these Jewish feasts. What does that mean? It means something's going to happen. What? I don't know. That'll be $23.95. Amen? And the suckers pay it. You know why? They have no one giving them the book. You know what the prodigal son said when he was about to put pig slop into his mouth to eat? He was so hungry, he fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine had eaten. And before he got that thing up to his mouth, he said, how many of my father's servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'm going to go home to my father's house and get some fresh baked rolls out of the oven rather than this slop. And he went home, amen. And they got the fatted calf killed and started the party. What I'm saying is if you get a steady diet of the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, that other stuff pales in comparison. And a lot of it falls way short of Scripture standards. One, they use other versions. Two, they don't know what they're talking about half the time. I'm watching this guy and he says, okay, well here where it says the dragon had a deadly wound that was healed. He said, what that is it's East and West Germany reuniting. That's what I said, huh? You can't just arbitrarily just pick things and say this is a fulfillment of prophecy when you're ignorant of the book, let alone history. The dragon is Germany. The great red dragon of Revelation 12 is Germany, and its deadly wound was healed when East and West Germany got back together. Okay, and now what? That'll be about $25.95 just for inflation, amen? They don't know what they're talking about half the time. You can't just say, you know what, looks like this man child's the church because he gets caught up. Rapture, right? There's a lot of people that get caught up in the Bible. It doesn't make them the church. It doesn't even make it a rapture if it's just caught up, amen? They don't know what they're talking about half the time. And number three, their facts, so-called facts, they're always stretched. They're always massaged. They're always almost there, but not quite. This business about 7 years between eclipses is actually 6 years and 8 months. But that don't sound cool. Amen. Sounds much better when you say seven. Then that perks up somebody's ear and goes, ooh. There's only two towns called Nineveh that get the total eclipse. The rest of them get a partial. And the town where they cross is named Carbondale, Illinois, not Rapture. It's 175 miles from Rapture. But that's close enough to say, man, X marks the spot. Get yourself ready. We're going. And you know what lost people do? They look at that and they say, oh, those dumb, stupid Christians that believe that book. That ain't dumb, stupid Christians that believe that book. That's dumb, stupid Christians who haven't read their book in years and are so unfamiliar with its contents that they would be shocked if somebody brought it up to their attention. How many Burger Kings did the eclipse cross over? Seven. Seven. Five are fallen, one is, and another is yet to come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Now, number four, they never own past failures. And they have past failures. But they never go, oops, sorry, here's your refund for that book. It doesn't happen. It's always the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. What's the next sign, brother so-and-so, rabbi so-and-so? I'm glad you asked. I've got a couple right here in my back pocket for you. They never own past failures. You know, in the Bible, if you blow it as a prophet once, you're no longer God's prophet. If you blow it, if something you prophesy is a dud, you're a false prophet. You're to be stoned. And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about die. Capital punishment, man. It's a good thing when God's not killing false prophets today, boy. They'd be dying left and right, right? But they never own past failures. Number five, they never talk about any of the rest of the Bible or any of the other applications of the Bible. They're prophecy experts, but they can't tell you anything about kindness or long-suffering or what happened on the cross spiritually. They're ignorant of that stuff. You know why? They don't have their heads stuck in the sand. They got them stuck in the clouds. They got them stuck in the universe. Dr. Upman's got a beautiful cartoon he's got in his book on science and philosophy. And these guys, one guy's looking up in this great big nuclear telescope, and he says, I don't see anything up here. And a guy's looking down in his super microscope, and he says, I don't see anything down here. And there's a Bible in the garbage can, and the heading says, it's because you're looking in the wrong place, stupid. And folks, who told you you were supposed to be looking to the heavens for signs? Now, if you tell me, and the people have told me this here recently, I guess there's something where Virgo, the constellation Virgo, gave birth to Jupiter, which Jupiter's a bad guy if you're going to be talking about the heavens. Jupiter's got one red eye, like the Antichrist. But if, anyway, this Virgo gives birth to this Jupiter and the things line up and everything and it looks like Revelation 12, I said, well, that is interesting, but not as interesting as Revelation 12. That's an oddity. That's cool. I mean, you know, maybe God designed it that way. Perhaps. Who am I to say? But it's not as interesting as what is in Revelation 12. Because Revelation 12 was the same 3 years ago, 30 years ago, 300 years ago, as it is today and will be 300 years from now. Whereas that thing, it's here today and gone tomorrow. And you know what? It might not be that. Maybe it only lines up if you look at it a certain way through, you know, if you skew the telescope. But they never talk about any of the rest of the Bible or its applications. And none of them are living as though they even believe what they're saying. If you thought the rapture was in 40 days, you wouldn't be wasting your time with YouTube or books. You would be on the streets doing what you're supposed to be doing anyway, preaching the gospel. Amen. Not, look at the stars, you'd be telling people, look what this says. And the reason they don't is because they're hypocrites. They don't believe the junk they're telling you. They're Benny Hinn's. same crowd. You said, well, these guys were Bible. They're not Bible believers or Bible readers. If they were, they wouldn't be putting out this stuff. What happens 40 days from now when all this blows over? You say, Brother Adam, what if the rapture happens? Then I'll be the first to say, I apologize, I was wrong. Praise God, he came. Amen. But what's more than likely to come is this thing's going to blow over like all the rest of them do. And people are going to say, you know what? I'm fed up with this Christian garbage. I'm fed up with this Bible. And it's not Bible they've been getting. I could just as easily say, I'm fed up with this junk that's coming from Hollywood. I'm fed up with the junk that's coming from the news media. They've all been lying to us for years, and I'm not going to listen to them anymore. They have the track record. This book has a track record of 100% faithfulness and truth. But the bozos that leave this for signs and wonders, they've got them a record for cashing in on suckers that won't believe the book and won't check the book. All right, you're welcome. Look at Jeremiah 23. Look at Jeremiah 23. Dr. Ruckman used to say, you know, is there, he says, he would be preaching to a congregation, he traveled quite a bit and preached in different churches, and he says the fear would always grasp him and grip him, and he would think, is there anybody here that gave money to Oral Roberts so that God wouldn't kill him? You know, that thing back in the 80s that Oral Roberts said, give me this money so I can build this dental college, or God's going to kill me if I don't raise $1 million, and people send him the money. Somebody said, what should have happened is he showed up the last day and said, folks, we're 30 cents short, and a lightning bolt knocked him out of his shoes. Churches would have been filled. But no, people sent him the money. And Dr. was like, is there anybody in this congregation that sent money to Jim and Tammy Baker? He breaks out in a cold sweat thinking, there might actually be Christians in here that are that dumb. Look at Jeremiah 23, verse 25. Are Christians dumb? Yeah, a lot of them are. And it's not because of this book. It's because of a lack of knowledge of this book. My people perish for lack of wisdom. Look at Jeremiah 23, verse 25. I've heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. That sounds familiar. Celebrate his birthday every year. Although the FBI has sealed files on him that nobody can read, you still have a prophet that says, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, there are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Yeah, that prophet was a reverend, but you never hear him preaching the gospel to anybody. Isn't that strange? Reverend Michael Luther King, they called him Martin Luther so that you would think that he was connected with some kind of a reformation. Find me the tape where he's preaching the gospel to anybody. Find me the place where he ever mentions Christ dying for anybody's sins or being raised from the dead. No, this reverend had him a dream, turned out to be a horse of another color. A nightmare. I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? You know what chaff is? When you're threshing wheat, you throw it up in the air, and the wind blows all the husk and the stuff that's dusty and inedible, it blows it away, and the wheat falls to the ground. And you do that a few times, and after a while, the chaff is blown off, and all you have is pure wheat. And the Lord says, hey, let that prophet tell his dream, and let him that has my word preach my word faithfully. What's the chaff? The guy's dream. To the wheat, the word. Look what he says in verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. How do they do that? They substitute it with a bunch of stuff. Signs, wonders, etc. Verse 31, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Doesn't get any plainer than that, folks. Look at Deuteronomy 13. Wait a minute, maybe it does get plainer. Look at Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. Say, Brother Adam, are you mad at these folks? No, I pity them. But what I get aggravated with is that people connect them with me. They think that I'm that crowd. The people I work with, oh, you're a preacher? Ha, ha, ha. Oh, you're a Christian? Hardy, har, har. Why don't you give me about an hour and I'll show you hardy, har, har from the book. Oh, I don't got that kind of time. Yeah, I didn't think you did. You spend all your time on YouTube looking at a bunch of fakes. You don't have time to let somebody that genuinely has the book to give you. There's a spirit that works in the hearts of men. And that spirit is trying to blind the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. He doesn't mind you looking at the stars. He doesn't mind you looking at the eclipse. He hopes you do. He hopes you get so excited that you tell all your friends that the rapture is happening in 40 days. What he does not want you to do is get into this. It will change your life and the life of anybody else that listens to you. For good, not for 40 days. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1, if there arise among you a prophet, a dreamer of dreams, and give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass. Whoa, we're not talking about Gene Dixon and Edgar Casey. We're talking about somebody that thing actually comes to pass. Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments, words, and obey his voice, words, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. You say, Brother Adam, you think you should put those folks to death? No, but at the least you ought to stop buying their books and supporting their ministries, so-called ministries. Because that's all they do, is make merchandise off of God's people. Amen and amen. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1. That clip I showed you earlier, I didn't find that. Somebody sent that to me, and they sent that to me with the intent that I'd take it seriously. I guess they thought, you know, maybe I'd warn you. Yeah, they didn't anticipate that I would warn you this way, I guess. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. While they look at verse 17. These are wells without water. Clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them to not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings 13, verse 18. 1 Kings 13, 18. That's a familiar number. You remember Revelation 13, 18 is the 666? Here's 1 Kings 13, 18. 18 is 3 times 6. And 1 Kings 13, 18, you got a false prophet. You see, this young prophet had been told by the Lord, go preach to the king and tell him this. And he says, on your way back, don't stop anywhere to eat. Don't go anybody's house. You come right back here. Don't eat anything. Don't drink anything. You come right back here. Yes, sir. All right. Verse 16. Look at verse 15. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not come home. I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. So he said, I got it from the word of the Lord. Verse 18. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee unto thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back, and cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. Isn't it strange? It keeps telling you the lion stood by the carcass. Verse 25, behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. Why didn't the lion eat him? Verse 28, and he went and found the carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. Because that lion's not the one that's walking about seeking whom he may devour. That lion is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And you know what he did? He killed that young prophet for not listening and obeying the book. Instead, he listened to another prophet that told him something contrary to the book. And he died. But it wasn't the devil that killed him. Because he would have ate him if it was. It was the Lord. Are you supposed to be looking for signs? Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I mean, you got a book, right? You got the book, right? Are you supposed to be looking for signs? Let's see. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? An honest question, a good question. That's what they've been waiting for their entire last 3.5 years. They're figuring he's going to set up his kingdom and they're going to sit on thrones. They're thinking it'd be a matter of weeks. And so they're like, okay, he's fixing to leave. It seems like he's fixing to leave. Somebody better ask him. And they said, Lord, are you going to at this time restore the kingdom? And look what he says to them. Verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know. Underline that. Because you think it is. If God says it's not for you to know, you can look all you want to. You're wasting your time. Unless he reveals it to you, it's not for you to know. Not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So they say, Lord, are you going to do it this time? And he says, you're not supposed to know, but I'll tell you what you do need to know. Preach the gospel. Get busy preaching the gospel. You're supposed to be busy preaching the gospel. Not looking for signs. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. You don't need it. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You know that perfectly. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Well, what's that travail upon a woman with child? When's that happening? Tribulation. That's after we get out of here. Verse 5, you are all the children of light, and not the children of day. We are not, and the children of day, we are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. For we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. You know what he's saying? He said, you don't need to know when this is going to take place. You already know the times and the seasons. What you need to do is live the Christian life. Be busy about doing that stuff. The essentials. Read your Bible, pray, witness. That's what you're supposed to be busy about. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Now, what we've got on the wall here is Bible-based. That's not somebody's opinion. That's not guesswork. None of that is. It's all got Bible for it. But we don't have dates on here because nobody knows the dates. You get an idea of the times and the seasons. You get an idea, but you don't have for sure because the Lord has a reason for that. And the reason is because he's going to catch the Antichrist by surprise. That thing is going to be so slick. Jesus said, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But that's not the only reason the days are shortened. The days are shortened because the Antichrist isn't going to be looking for Christ to come back and ready or not, here I come. He's going to catch him by surprise. That's all through the Scriptures. That's not one or two verses. That's two dozen verses. Okay? Everything on that thing is scriptural. It's not guesswork. It's not hope so. It's Bible. That's it. And I've taught you that. And I can't teach you anything more than that. Because there's nothing else more to teach. Amen. The rest of it is, read your Bible, pray every day, witness to people, win souls, live the Christian life, do good, amen, and wait for the Lord to come back. Yeah. That's it. That's what we ought to be occupied with. I want him to come back as much as anybody, if not worse. But I am limited by Scripture as far as to how far I go with this thing. And I am not supposed to be making up fables to keep people hooked and interested. I'm supposed to give them the book, the book, the book, the book. And one day, it'll come around. And I would dare say that the people that have been occupied with the book are going to be more prepared than the people who have had their heads in the clouds. Or in the cloud, or in the World Wide Web, or whatever you want to call it. All right, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22. I keep forgetting this is a Sunday school lesson. I'm preaching a Sunday school lesson. 1 Corinthians 1, 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. You supposed to be looking for a sign? You remember that verse we just read a while ago? Christ said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. After he went, and then he just left. He didn't even give them the benefit of the doubt, saying Jonah in 3 days. He just said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it. Bye-bye. They're like, man, he hadn't read Brother Kahn's book. All right, John chapter 2, verse 18. John 2, 18. You can't blame the guys. I mean, they get money, and they get prestige. And they looked at it as some sort of authority. This is after they've blown it 15 times in a row. But people still look at them as experts. Because people don't read the book. It's like a Catholic priest. Somewhere along the line, he comes into a place where he realizes that this does not match his career. And back in the days when this thing first got published in the normal languages, a bunch of those Catholic priests and monks left the church because of it. Now, there's still not do. There's still some that do. There's a whole video that Jack Chick puts out, publications of converted priests and nuns that have been saved and come out of the Catholic Church who were in offices, Catholic priests and nuns. It still happens. You just don't hear about it. But what happens is they come across the truth and they have a choice to make. Am I going to go with the truth or am I going to stay comfortable with my career and my family and all the benefits that come along with being called father and dressing up in fancy robes? And if it's just a career, if it's just a nice way to make a living, they just stay with what they're doing. And if they have convictions from God, they get out and they get saved and they get a decent job. They don't automatically become pastors. Not a lot of them, no. A lot of them say, you know what, I had no business in that ministry. What makes me think I'm fit for this one? Some of them do, but some of them just become laymen. They get married and have normal lives, normal Christian lives. Good for them. If you have Catholic family, I'd show them that video. It's called, what's it called? We had a copy of it in the library. I need to get another one. But anyway, it's he's on it, but it's not from him. It's Jack Chick puts it out. And it's nothing but an hour or so of Catholic priests and nuns that got saved and are giving their testimonies. And just make you weep for joy watching the thing. But if you got Catholic friends, Catholic families, I'd show them that's not offensive. It's meant to be very loving. But it comes right out of the horse's mouth, so to speak. I mean, these are people that were called father and sister and mother by many Catholics, and they came to the knowledge of the truth. But some of them don't. All right, John 2, verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the Word which Jesus had said. Isn't that something? They said, We want a sign. He's like, You're not going to get anything but the Word. And if you don't believe the Word, no sign in the world is going to help you. Look at Jeremiah 10, verse 2. I appreciate your patience. I'll be done in just a moment, just about maybe 10 more references. So if you can hang on till then, we'll be done. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah 10, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. In other words, there's signs up there. Some of them are meant to dismay people. Some of them are meant to confuse and deceive people. You say, will the Lord do that? Absolutely, if people aren't going by this. Absolutely. He shall send strong delusion because they believed a lie and had not pleasure in the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God sends them strong delusion, it says. 1 Thessalonians 5. You know what the Lord has out there? He has a rabbit trail that leads to nowhere for people who are busybodies and don't study their Bibles. Are you supposed to be looking for signs? Not according to those verses, you're not. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. You're supposed to be knowledgeable about the Word of God, the Bible, the book in your lap, the book that's been around here for 400 years in English, the universal language of the 21st century. It has no proven errors. It's been purified in the furnace of earth 7 times as silver is purified, and this thing is a miracle. It jumps off the page when you're reading it. You know, I've been saved for almost 40 years now, and I've been serving the Lord for, I'd say, maybe about 30 years of that, 30, 35 years of that. And really, I mean, in the book for maybe a good 25, 30 years. And I still am amazed when I study this Bible and find the stuff that I find. And I know it's not because I'm anybody. I had the benefit of good teachers, good pastors and teachers that helped me and teach me to study the Bible and then said, you're on your own. And I got a Bible and a concordance and time and prayer, and God shows me stuff that He hid from scholars. And He'll do the same for anybody. I never run out of exciting things to chew on, but they all come from this. They don't come from extracurricular stuff. The extracurricular stuff, if it supports this, great. But I'm not going to say it's as good as this. It ain't. Like I said, Revelation 12, much, much more interesting. All right. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. I'm sorry, I'm 2 Timothy. 2 Thessalonians. That's good too. It said the word of God is not bound. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9. Here we go. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The devil can work signs and lying wonders. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 16. Acts chapter 2, 16. You know, the book of Acts is a book of progressive revelation. In other words, they're coming out of the Old Testament Judaism and into New Testament Christianity, and there's a progressive growth and revelation that God is bringing them through to get to that point from point A to point B. They don't understand everything at once. It isn't until chapter 15 that they're all on the same page as far as what they should preach. And so there's a difference. Now look at Acts 2, verse 16. Acts 2, 16. Peter gets up and he preaches, and he says in verse 14, "Ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see dreams, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Kind of jumped the gun, didn't he? Yeah. In Acts 2, he jumped the gun. He says, "All right, all these signs are showing up." And they didn't show up. He jumped the gun. And nobody can blame him. He didn't have the book to be able to straighten him out. But that's no excuse for Christians today. You got the complete revelation of God. You don't have to worry about misquoting or misapplying something.
How you doing, brother?
He said, "Brother Adam, you saying Peter was wrong? Did the sun and the moon turn to blood and vapor and fire and smoke? Did all that happen?" And no, it didn't. It's going to happen. But he jumped the gun. Like a lot of these prophetical people do. Look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 3. I'm not so worried about you, but if I was addressing a lot of churches in this area or around the nation, I would be concerned that I'd be really offending and stepping on people's toes, because their hearts get all caught up in this stuff. And I would be the guy, the mean guy, going around popping bubbles and raining on parades. That's not my intention. My intention is to say, you've got a more sure word of prophecy. This is better than a voice from heaven. It's certainly better than some eclipse. This is better than all the signs and wonders put together.
Amen.
You'll figure it out after a while. I don't have to defend. This book will prove itself eventually. I'm just kind of giving you a preview. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, okay, so there's no Pharisees, no Sadducees, nobody around to mess him up. He's privately, okay? Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus said, well, you know, there's going to be a place called America, and there's going to be these cities named Salem, and then and 7 years are going to go by, and then there's going to be these seven cities named Nineveh, or close to that, and then it's going to kind of almost hit rapture, and that's what you got to look for, guys. And it'll be, what? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Why would he say that? First thing out the gate. First thing out of his mouth. There's a bunch of people that are going to go around lying. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation. You see, he's about to give them Revelation 12 from the book, not from the constellations. Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the, out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. He's saying these disjointed things because they have chain references in Scripture. That if you're a Bible believer, every one of these things that he's saying about eagles gathering together and days being shortened, that you'll pair that up with other scriptures and get the whole story.
Like the lion around the carcass and the eagles around the carcass?
Yeah. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. You understand that when you're reading this, that's what these people out here think is going on now? That is what they think is being fulfilled because eclipses crossed over some towns named Salem and Nineveh and rapture. They think this is what's going on. It's not what's going on. They jumped the gun. Just like Peter. Peter had an excuse. He didn't have this. They have it available to them. They're just not reading it. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. Look at Luke 21, verse 7. Luke 21, 7. I promise you, I'm trying to hurry. Luke 21, verse 7. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. In other words, things are getting set up, but it's not the end. Then said he unto them, verse 10, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be in from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which were in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all the things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, and to the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. But for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud of power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass... When they begin to come to pass, what would that be in this passage? It's when he starts talking about persecution in verse 12. When you start seeing persecution, that's when you lift up your head. That's when this stuff starts. Until then, it's just build up. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Then he talks about the fig tree, Israel. So on and so forth. There's a lot there. We don't have time to get into it this morning. But the sign to be looking for is verse 12 through 19, persecution. 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll read the whole chapter. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, once again, he says they're ignorant of the Bible. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You know what he says there? He says they're ignorant of what the word says. That's why they think everything continues as it from the beginning of creation. They're looking at signs. Peter gives an illustration about hearing a voice from heaven, and he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. I've got something better than a voice from heaven. I've got, it is written. Now, there are three signs in heaven given in Revelation. Revelation 12, 1, Revelation 12, 3, Revelation 15, 1. He says, I behold and saw a sign in heaven or a wonder in heaven. All right, great sign or a great wonder, both of them used interchangeably. Revelation 12:1, Israel. Revelation 12:3, the devil. Revelation 15:1, the seven last plagues. That's it as far as Revelation, where he says, I saw a sign in heaven or a wonder in heaven. That's it. Daniel 12, verse 4. Look at that. Well, you don't have to turn there for sake of time. Daniel 12:4, Daniel's fixing to close his book, and the Lord tells him, seal up the book for the time of the end. So Daniel didn't understand what he was written, and he said, you think that thing is closed to man. In Revelation 5:1, John looks and he says, I beheld a book written seven seals and sealed in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And they said, who is worthy to open the book? And no one's found worthy except the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he opens the seals. And he opens each seal and John records what he sees. See? But it's not until then that it's opened up. Revelation is opened up. So we have in Revelation, at the end of Revelation 22, verse 8 through 10, he says, you don't have to seal these words. Look at Revelation 22, verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. He said, Brother Adam, what's that all about? Search the scriptures and find it. That's why it's there. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, so on and so forth. So he says, you don't seal this up. The time is at hand. Everybody can know what they need to know if they read this. Everything you need to know that you should know is contained in this book. You don't have to go anywhere else. You don't have to substitute this with anything else. You know what the Jews did? They substituted their Bible with the commentaries on the Bible, the Talmud. And they missed their Messiah. Wise men from the East, Gentiles, saw the star. How come the Jews didn't see it? Because they had thrown the book out. You want God to really reveal something to you? Put your nose in the book and don't take it out. That's a surefire way of having God speak to you about the end times. You want to find out blank? Look anywhere else. And that is completely contrary to the majority of modern professing Christianity. And that's how you know I'm right. Feels good to be on the right side. Amen? Yeah, I thought so. Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. The Lord Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. God gets a real kick out of making fools out of these prognosticators and professors and scholars and blessing people and giving people inside truth that just believe his word as it is written. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the message. I pray that it would find good ground to take root and bear fruit in. I pray, Lord, for our fellow brethren and sisters, Lord, who get caught up in these things, some of them innocent enough, but I pray, Lord, that eventually they'll grow in grace to the point where they realize that the book is all they need, and the book will satisfy if they'll just give it the chance. And I ask that you bless us and dismiss us with your blessing this week and help us to keep our eyes and ears and nose in the book. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Thanks for coming this morning.